order for Tuesday, November 26th, 2019. We'll start with the
pledge, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We will go with a roll call, please.
Coke?
Here.
Transier?
Here.
Milshewski?
Here.
Plocher?
Here.
Funkhauser?
Here.
Frieders?
Here.
Terulis?
Here.
Peterson is absent. We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve the agenda? Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Perfect. I know, Jack, you give me those looks.
Yeah.
Something about the name Jackie giving me looks. I get those at home, too. Okay, are there any presentations today?
No.
None. Excellent. Is there a public hearing today? I can hear the public. Maybe that's you, Amy. None. Thank you. Are there any citizen comments on the agenda? Yes. Come forward, state your name for the record, please.
Thank you.
And offer your comments. Thanks for coming tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My name is Michael Swanick. Mr. Mayor, council members, I'm personally opposed to the sale of recreational marijuana. As a driver, I normally have to worry about drunks on the road, and now this new threat. The majority of arrests noted in local newspapers are due to DUI. By legalizing recreational marijuana, this will put a heavy burden on our police, who will need additional training as well as some sort of testing to detect cannabis. One of the present aldermen was quoted as saying, "History has passed you by. It's going to be legal in a few months." And I'm afraid he's right. Since Hiroshima Fat Man decided to legalize recreational cannabis, it's for the one reason and one reason only: revenue. One hears this cry continually from politicians. New government political positions will jump out and trade wages. Example: Senator Hutchinson will go from $80,000 per year to $220,000 per year, heading up this new endeavor. And this is just for one individual, not including staff and the many more individuals around the state in various positions. We now have legalized drugs, casinos, sports betting, slot machines, and horse racing. Therefore, I propose to really make the state profitable, bring back brothels, which should really bring in revenue. So working together, we can make Al Capone and let you look down and look like pipers. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Are there any other citizen comments on the agenda? Please.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, board members. My name is John Cooney. I'm an attorney out of Downers Grove. I am also a landowner in Yorkville, Illinois. I am the Fountain Village strip center, commercial strip center on the south side of town. I've been involved with owning businesses and owning property in Yorkville since 2013. We intend to own another business shortly, but I'm talking to you in favor of passing adult use cannabis in dispensaries. We're in favor of the ordinance as drafted, with one exception. We'd ask that the council consider amendment and removing restriction on the setback for residential property for adult use cannabis. The way the map is drawn right now, there's about three existing properties, built properties, vacant buildings or spaces that would be available under the well, the presently drawn map. They're all in the Route 34 corridor. The idea for marijuana and cannabis being for adult use is not only for the state of Illinois as of January 1, but it also will hopefully spawn economic development. You know, it passed a 3% tax on that's going to be generating revenue anywhere from, let's say, $250,000 to $400,000 a year. But economic development on the corridor on Route 34 is not absolutely necessary. It's pretty full. On the south side, down where our building is, it's not. There's no economic development there. We purchased that. We closed on it last year. We've been involved in the center for 3 years before that, and involved in another of our sports facility before that. On the south side, there's no economic development going on. It's going to be the largest influx of residential housing, over 440 units going in on the south side. They don't have restaurants down there. There's pizza places, fast food, McDonald's down there, Dunkin' Donuts. And then you have the Fountain Village, which has a tobacco store, a liquor store, a nail store, and a paintball store, as well as Roadhouse 47. With this being, if you reduce it down to zero lot lines instead of the existing 250 of the ordinance, it will support sperm growth in that center, as well as other locations down there. It's all about foot traffic and vehicle traffic down there. Right now, there isn't any, except at night. The bar pays for the entire center of us. And it's holding its own right now, but it's not going to hold its own much longer. We'd like to see that it goes down. The next gentleman, I think, speaking, will talk about security and the issue as to minor children. There's a concern that this would have an effect on minor children if it's next to a residential property. However, liquor stores are, bars are, vape stores, tobacco stores. Other municipalities in this state has considered this, and the ones that I'm familiar with, you have Aurora, which has 750 setback from schools and not adjacent to a daycare, nothing for residential. You have Zion, 250 for schools and churches, and zero for Des Plaines has zero for residential. Orland Hills has zero for residential. Wadsworth, zero for residential. Carbondale, zero for residential. And in Chicago, they're contemplating going down to mixed-use property. If you have commercial downstairs, existing commercial downstairs, and residential upstairs, they're going to permit those there. It's not the stigma that it was before. It's been out there. Medicinal marijuana has shown that it has assisted many, many people in the state of Illinois, and that has grown tremendously. Recreational cannabis in the state. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Are there other comments on the agenda?
Good evening. Arnie Sylvester from with SJR Incorporated. I'm actually a consultant for construction and operation of dispensaries. We've built some grow facilities in the state here. We've also built grow facilities in Massachusetts, Michigan, Florida, and America. I've known John for a long time. He asked me to come down and take a look at his individual property. And I know it's a big decision for a community to think about doing cannabis. I've been in these meetings and in these situations, and the same questions come up over and over again is, you know, how we're going to protect the community, protect the kids, not have extra problems for our police department. The first gentleman's concern about people driving on the roads, all those kind of things. And, you know, unfortunately, when something happens at the state level, local level, we have to end up just dealing with it and doing the best we can. So what I've seen a lot of communities do is take the individual number of facilities and limit them, and then look at each one on a case-by-case basis so that they can then determine if it's in the right spot for them. Some people want it in back off, industrial areas. Some figure it needs to be in real actual retail right on a main drag. But most of the time, they're always looking to put it in a place where it's going to help economically and help the rest of the, you know, the area, because you get a lot of foot traffic from these things, you get a lot of car traffic, and it definitely benefits other parts of the community. So, you know, to set a rule or an ordinance together right now that actually excludes out John's particular building, I think is a little, you know, short-sighted, I guess I'd say, because, you know, when you look at the area, like he said, it definitely, you know, could use a little bit of a bump in you know, traffic and people down there. As far as, you know, having it next to residential or having it next to anything in particular, the safety on these buildings, just so you understand, there's 300% redundancy in the cameras. So every angle that there is has three different cameras on it. The operations, the state just passed in the new trailer bill that you have to have security. You have to have a registered security person from an Illinois state registered security company on site every hour that you're open, and a half hour after you close, and a half hour before you open. That just happened here recently. So, what happens in a typical situation is you come in, you bring a state ID or a driver's license, they scan it, then you're given a number, and then you're brought into the facility. And because they only allow the number of employees, so if there's three clerks, there's only three employees, actually, or three people actually in the facility buying product at one time. So, you know, it cuts down on, you know, people running out the back door or grabbing a product and trying to go out, you know, without, you know, having being tracked. The registration of the reason that they're scanning is because they're looking for looping, because they don't want people to go and buy in another community. It's not like beer where we can walk into Costco and go, hey, sale on beer, let me load up. You know, you're only allowed a certain ounce of sale in a time period. So, you know, to be concerned that this product is going to work its way into the schools and the kids and those kind of things is just simply false. I mean, number one, this stuff rates out when you look at it per pound, $8,000 to $10,000 a pound. So it's not like buying a $3 six-pack for a kid who's standing out on a corner and go, yeah, here you go, and just handing it to them. Plus you're actually tracked and you're only allowed to buy a certain amount of it. So they would see tendencies of people buying a lot of it, you know, if they were actually selling it secondarily or giving it away. I think that... you know, it definitely is a hard choice. I mean, it's something that you guys really need to think about because it's your community and everybody has pride in their community. But I really believe that, you know, at the end of the day, it's best to look at an individual area and say, hey, can this also help what else is around in the community? So, anybody have any questions or anything?
This is really not a give and take session.
Okay.
Yeah. But thank you for that.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Any other citizen comments on the agenda?
A lot of people do people out. didn't really know our history. Started in 2011 and was actually popcorn and ice cream. Eventually, popcorn closed down and took over that as well. But at that time, you can see the building was just a white building. It was used for storage. We just put the boxes and the stuff they didn't know what to do with, basically. So I went in there and with an agreement with the city, and I renovated it myself, my own plans.
$46,843.42 for vendors and payroll for a period ending 11/15/19 of $298,463.94 for a total of $1,225,307.36. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Franzier. Your second. Coke. Discussions? Questions? Comments? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Trinzier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Excellent. Thank you. Mayor's report. We have several items listed, and of course, several items that are not listed. So first of all, I want to say that Tim, your group, did an excellent job over the weekend. We had the tree lighting ceremony and the parade on Saturday. You had some other events Saturday, too, with the school, correct?
Yeah, we're Winter Wonderland at the school district. It's our school.
And you had a good crowd for that, right?
It was an outstanding crowd. And we had lines starting at 10:30, and the doors would be open until 11:00.
You should have had them take numbers to take a cue from the guy who spoke here a moment ago. But then the tree lighting, you had several hundred people for that. And I want to say it was excellent because we all started with the Pledge of Allegiance. There's a nice big American flag there. So before we had the tree lighting, we did Pledge of Allegiance. And the weather was perfect for that. So that was Saturday. And then Sunday morning, we had the Chili Chase 5K. Is that what we call the Chili Chase? That's why they had chili afterwards. Yeah, for a cure for cancer. And the American Cancer Society had some fundraising there. And I want you to know that was excellent. The weather was perfect for that. How many do we have? How many runners?
About 150.
Nice. And I want you to know my family did outstanding. I had, yeah, I'm going to brag a little bit here. Yes, I am. My 7-year-old was third place bronze medal winner in the girls under 10. I think there's only three, but nonetheless. My son was third place in the boys, maybe it was 9 under, 10 under. Again, there might have been three. And my brother-in-law was third place in whatever category he was. I think, I don't want to say, but it's like 55 and over or something like that. And I was first place in the mayor's category. I happen to be the mayor. And I did it in 55 minutes. I walked with my 7-year-old. But anyway, it was a good time. The chili was excellent. There was some what they call the hot stuff?
Yes.
They called it, they had some fancy name for that.
Honestly, I didn't.
Oh, it was like hell or something like that. But I tell you, it had some kick to it. But it was a good event. So thank you, Tim.
Well, I also just want to thank the police department. They played a big role, school district, and as well as American Legion and the Cancer Society.
It was a good time. Good event. All of them were. So that was the first couple items. And then the other thing I have is just everyone have a good Thanksgiving. We're going to have a nice meeting tonight, a lot of fun stuff to discuss. And then we're all going to go home and we're going to have a lot to eat on Thursday. So thank you. That's all the unlisted items. Now we have the real important stuff. First item we have is the tax levy. And we're going to have a, this is a combined motion?
Yes, it is.
A combined motion. Thank you. I was asking her. Okay, is there a motion to approve the resolution requesting separate limiting rates for all city funds and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute and approve for the levy and assessment of taxes for the fiscal year beginning May 1st, 2020 and ending April 30th, 2021?
So,
I heard one over here by, who was it? Creators. Was there a second? Milshewski. Okay, so couple items on this. Because we did catch a little bit of heat last time at the public hearing. Again, I want to reiterate, the city levy, the city's portion is going up 2.96%, $96,000 of new revenues, but those are all from new construction. There's no inflationary impact on the city's portion, and the total levy for the city is 3.337703, $3,337,703. The library total is $1,566,135, and that's a 4.28% increase, and that is new construction and CPI. So, again, just wanted to clarify so everyone knows what that is. Are there any questions and or other comments? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Thank you. I was trying to clarify something. Next, we have lobbyist service. And this is one motion as well. Is there a motion to approve a resolution approving an intergovernmental agreement among the Village of Oswego, the United City of Yorkville, and this is the bonus this time, the Village of Montgomery for the sharing of governmental affairs services and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute?
So move.
Second.
Is that Frieders again? Okay, nice. I was looking this way. And Coke. Okay, so this is a lobbyist firm that the city previously used, and it expires, is it November 30th? And so last time, the shared services were between the Village of Oswego and ourselves. This time, Montgomery said they're willing to kick in. Now they have to vote on it, but it sounds like they will. So actually, our amount goes now from $3,500 a month to $2,333 a month. So any questions on that?
Yes. I was excited to read that the focus of the lobbying effort will be on the water plan, seeing as how Metro is kind of, I'm not going to use a train pun, so just back off. But now that Metro is on track, it came out anyway. We can kind of focus on the big deal. Yeah, we can all do dad jokes. But I think the water plans that we have for Yorkville are going to be more of a priority as we move forward. So I would really like to figure out how we can get the the capital bill to include what we're talking about doing, because it won't just be one community, it won't just be three, it'll actually be regional, considering how massive our planning area is. So maybe that will actually grow over time, but I think it's a good move as far as not only lowering our bill, but also keeping our specific lobbying efforts geared towards what our large expenses will be. So I think that's a good move. I'm happy to support it.
Other questions or comments? Just a clarification, this also includes a budget amendment to authorize this. And Bart, where is this coming from again?
The Admin Services Department, which is our catch-all for the general fund. There's a line item there for professional services.
But we had that amount budgeted for the expiration as of November 30th.
Correct.
So we need to increase it for the remaining 5 months of the fiscal year. So any other questions, comments? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Tranzier?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Excellent. I think that's it for the mayor's report. Yes, Public Works report. Mr. Clocher.
PW 2019-72, East Orange Street Water Main Improvements. I make a motion to approve the East Orange Street Water Main Improvements, change order number one, and authorize the mayor to execute.
Second by Koch. Any discussion on this? None. Roll call, please.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Tranzier?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Number two, PW 2019-73, purchase of a new truck. With a motion to authorize the purchase through Sourcewell Purchasing Cooperative for a 2020 Ford Super Duty F-350 from National Auto Fleet Group, the amount of $32,521.40, a 9-foot Boss snowplow for approximately $7,000, and any other accessories needed for the daily operations of the vehicle for a total amount not to exceed $50,000.
Second. Any discussion on this? Just the one thing is, this is good because we had budgeted, I believe, $57,000. It'll be under $50,000, so it's a savings versus budget. Thank you. Roll call.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Tranzier?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Motion carries.
And then we have Public Works number three, PW 2019-74, Rain Creek Village Units 4, 5, and 6, stop sign analysis. Make a motion to approve an ordinance amending the traffic schedule for the index intersections control Rain Creek Village subdivision. Authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Any discussion? Anyone add, Brad? And this is for the, mostly for the new sections that are going to be built. We're putting stop signs up before the traffic gets going. That way, construction traffic, people moving in, they can use the stop signs. And that way, we won't have any accidents. At least that's the hope. Roll call, please.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Tranzier?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Clocher?
No.
It's good to see you the other night. Yeah. EDC, Ms. Milshewski.
I'd like to make a motion to approve an ordinance authorizing a jurisdictional boundary line agreement between the United City of Yorkville and the City of Plano and authorize the mayor, city clerk, to execute.
Second.
Second, I heard Frieders. So this item, we did have some discussion last time at the public hearing. Mr. Funkhauser, you had some comments and questions regarding south of the river. We haven't got a affirmative response on that yet. We're going to still try, but if you want, we can approve this as is and keep trying on the other issue. Or if you want to punt this for a month or two, we can. I have no problem if you want to pass it and just keep working with Plano. Maybe we'll agree to Mr. Funkhauser's suggestions.
Plano has a public hearing, was it next week or the week following, I believe?
It was yesterday.
Oh, it was yesterday, okay. And were there any comments that came out?
I have not heard back from them.
They have to deliberate them still in a couple weeks. I'd be okay if we table this until.
Use the date certain, please. First meeting in January?
First meeting in January, whatever that date might be.
Any other thoughts on that? Is there anyone opposed to that? So does, that needs a second, doesn't it?
Yes.
Is there a second? Second by Milshewski. Any discussion on motion to the table? There's no, oh, there's not. Okay. This is for the first meeting in January. Okay, thank you. All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Very well, thank you. So do we have to have a motion to pull that off the table?
Technically, yes.
We have to have a motion to pull that off the table in January.
Actually,
oh, no, not now.
No, actually, we could possibly, because it's for a date certain, possibly can go with other motions.
Okay, well, you figure that out with the clerk, please.
We generally don't. Our procedure is we do it.
Okay, well, then that's perfect for me.
Right.
Okay, January. Anything else from the EDC report? Sure, nothing. Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, there, that's exactly what we wanted here. Thank you. Okay, next we have the Public Safety Committee report. We have multiple things there. Seaver?
Busy meeting.
Well, you know, when you meet every other month, they pile up.
Make a motion to approve a resolution approving a joint purchase agreement for radios, accessories, and licenses, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Okay, so this, my understanding, this allows us to purchase them, but we're still not positive when we're purchasing them. Is that correct, Mr. Jensen?
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay, you're still working on some other possible options. Excellent. So we may be purchasing them in the very near future. We may not, but this puts us in a position where we can. Carrie, everything you want to offer?
Nope, you got it.
You put the bid together on this, right?
Yes.
Aren't there other agencies or entities using that bid? Good for you. Thank you. Okay. Questions, comments? Did you have it?
Well, it was pretty straightforward before we started talking. Now I'm totally confused. No, so we don't know if we're for sure going out for the full total amount of units, or what's the unknown now?
What this contract is just locking in the pricing that they provided us, and then based on what we put into the budget, we'll determine what we're going to purchase come the new year, and then where the funding will come from.
Are you less confused now?
Absolutely. I said that more for Joe than for me, but it's
thank you.
You're welcome.
Teamwork. I like that. Okay. No other questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on. Seaver.
Make a motion to approve a resolution authorizing the sale and transfer of personal property owned by the city, police department, and equipment. Authorize
the mayor and city clerk to execute. Any questions or comments on this? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Motion to approve an ordinance amending the regulations for solicitors, hawkers, and itinerant merchants, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Questions or comments on this? Roll call, please.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Motion to approve an ordinance amending the code of ordinances providing for liquor control class R1 and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
I have questions for you. Well, actually, I'll allow other people to ask questions first. Are there any questions or comments from the council? Please.
So, just to clarify, is this so that, A, if you buy a bottle of wine, you don't finish it, they can cork it and tape it, and you can take it home? Or is it so that if you find something at the restaurant that you like, you can buy a bottle to take home with you that it's fully corked.
It is the second option.
Good for you. Thank you. I was hopeful that was the answer.
That was my question. I actually might want to answer Mr. Funkhauser's question.
I take it this is something that has come about from request from restaurant operators.
Yes, you're correct.
To have this. Is it a minor request, or is it, is this coming from more than one?
It's coming from more than one. We've had one business that inquired about it. They specifically are looking to sell packaged bottles of wine. And then we also have an existing business that wanted to sell the packaged wine to go that started with the restaurant R2 license. They then put in a request to switch to an A1, which allows package sales. But they did indicate that they were not very happy that they had to get a bar and tavern license when they consider themselves a restaurant. If this were to be approved, I would anticipate that business putting in another request to switch back to an R1 license class.
Other questions or comments? I do have one other. Are the fees changing?
No, they are not.
Excellent. That's even better. Okay. No other questions? Roll call, please.
Transier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Make a motion to approve an ordinance amending the Yorkville City Code relating to the use of cannabis and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
So who's going to explain this one? Please.
I drafted it.
Well, that's awesome.
This is an ordinance that prescribes exactly what type of conduct will not be permitted in the city. This is irrelevant to whether or not you have a dispensary or any other cannabis operation. It allows our police department to issue a local ordinance license. So that it will be heard by, pardon me?
Violation.
Oh, yes.
You said violation.
So that any violation of one of the rules listed here will be heard locally, unless the quantities are such that it should be go before the Circuit Court of Kendall County. So, for example, if you're prohibited to have more than 30 grams of cannabis on the street, if you have more than 30, the police department would bring that offender before administrative adjudication. On the other hand, the police department has the right, should it be 60 instead of 30, to also charge the person, the violator, with a state code violation. So it really gives us tremendous flexibility for enforcement of any violation of the regulations for the misuse of cannabis.
Questions or comments? I have. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. So with details like in the past, like you get a plate in the car, that was a charge, right? That's a truck driver from now on. And so how will that be January 1, how will that be treated? You know, they're pulled over to have that for. And then the other question was the seal, it has to be sealed. Does that seal have to be the official seal from somewhere, or is there
certain packaging requirements that they have to follow? They have to follow the packaging requirements. They're subject to a charge, so to speak. As far as the smoking instrument, it can still fall under the paraphernalia statute.
Correct.
It could still be charged criminally.
Okay. This, oh, go ahead, please.
Are you guys going to be able to determine whether or not you have multiple offenses by the same violator to the point where you're going to say, okay, we're just done writing this guy tickets. It's now going to Mr. Weiss, and he's got to go before the judge in a criminal matter.
Yes, to answer the question, I believe we'll be able to determine that just with the information sharing we do within the organization, our reporting system, and our access to our reporting system here. We should be able to determine that, and then obviously share with the daily roll calls. And you pretty much know who your offenders are, and that information shares. So I can't say that it won't happen, you know, I can't say it's going to happen 100% of the time, but for the most part, yes.
Following up on that, then, is that another, so if they call licensing, does the officer get that information right there?
No, they can
system here, we could have somebody reach out to the records and say, has Jim Jensen, as an example, been charged under a local ordinance for this offense before? Now, if the records is not here, that could be difficult, but we have some that we have access to when they come back to the police station. They can follow up with that and get the information.
Does this prescribe fines, or do we still need to work on that?
This does not. It only prescribes one fine, the only fine that is mandated by state law, and that is if a parent allows a child to use cannabis, there is a state law that says $500. That is in this ordinance so that we invoke and apply the state license. With regard to our fees, we will be coming back to you next meeting with a clarification of all of our fines and what our minimum, maximum, first, second, and third offense. Once this is adopted, that would be the last step for January 1.
Thank you. Other questions or comments? Mr. Jensen, I'm not sure if, in fact, I won't ask you this. I'll talk to you later. yeah, I thought about that. So, no other questions or comments? We'll vote on this, and then we'll bring the fines back in December. Roll call, please.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Anything else, Seaver? Anything else? Good for you. Administration, Mr. Funkhauser, you have a few items too.
Yes. Okay. First, monthly treasurer's report for October 2019. Make a motion to approve the monthly treasurer's report for October 2019.
Is there a second?
Second.
By Terulis, any discussion? All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Make a motion to approve an ordinance for the amended levy and tax assessment taxes for the fiscal year beginning May 1st, 2020 and ending on April 30th, 2021 in and for special service area number 2004-201, Box Hill, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Was that closer? Second. Questions or comments on this?
I just had a quick question.
Sure.
On the monument sign, so IDOT bought it for the replacement value of the next sign. Is that a customary?
Yes.
And there's no like depreciation of monument signs because they're just monuments, right?
They appraise them at the time. Okay. Same thing happened on Route 47 with a couple of our park signs and okay. Some other creative issues.
All right. But, so that 20 to 22, whatever it might be, kind of replaces it or reimburses us for it. We hold on to it. We spend it again to get the new sign put up. But the reason for the increase is that mainly the tree maintenance and then the paving. Because they have the awesome trails and stuff, right?
Correct.
Okay. Sorry, just clarifying. Thank you.
No, that's great. Other questions? Mr. Funkhauser.
No, this one is more, we've had some unexpected costs in the past year, but this is also planning for some of the bigger costs that are coming down the road. Since this is essentially a HOA, a homeowners association that doesn't exist, we maintain it as a city, so we're planning for the big expenditures of maintaining the trails, maintaining the trees. We've had a lot of dieback of trees maintenance. So that's really why this is going up. The prior time, we had to raise the fees. We did some minor seal coating and things. This is more major, but we have to plan for the $20,000, $30,000 expenditures that are coming up regularly now for this neighborhood.
Other questions or comments? And the total amount of the assessment, if I'm correct, if I have my notes correct, it's going from $60 a year to $72.55 a year, so it's a buck a month. So it's not a huge amount.
And then there are big steps for the next several years.
But this is for 1 year.
For 1 year, yeah. The plan is to step it, but for 1 year.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Make a motion to approve an ordinance for the amended levy and assessment of taxes for the fiscal year beginning May 1st, 2020 and ending on April 30th, 2021 in and for Special Service Area Number 2006-119, Sunflower States, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second by Malchewski. Questions, comments on this one?
This is very similar. It's to deal with maintenance fees that we've had in the past, as well as our ongoing maintenance of the community or the neighborhood.
I believe that, yeah, in the past we had to do the ponds, so that was maintenance.
Yeah, we had spread that over several years, and now we're again looking at ongoing maintenance.
And this one is going from $155 to $174 a year. So again, per year, so it's like, you know, $1.67 a month, whatever it comes out to. It's a nominal amount. Okay. No other questions or comments? Roll. Oh, I'm sorry. Do we
reevaluate this every year? Okay.
Yes. Great question. Others? Roll call, please.
Koch?
Aye.
Malchewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Mr. Funkhauser, you're doing number four, all as one motion?
I would like to, and for pleasure.
I have no objection. Does anyone else object?
No objection, sir.
Okay. Please.
To make the motion, if I do the first part of it and then state numbers 1 through 7, is that sufficient?
Yes.
Okay. Or A through G.
I'm sorry, I'm going off of it.
Oh, okay.
A through G off A through G.
Yeah.
Agenda by off the motion list.
Okay.
So how do you want to do it?
A through G.
Everyone's understanding that?
Yeah.
Excellent.
No, okay. Maybe he should read them all.
Oh. Okay.
Go home. Go home.
Thank you.
I will defer to you. Okay.
If I can use my list.
Motion to approve an ordinance abating the tax levy for the year 2019, paying principal and interest on the, and I'm going to,
general obligation bonds.
Refunding bonds for A through G, and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second.
Okay. Any questions or comments? And this is required because if we don't do this, we will be forced to levy it.
Yes.
Correct. So these are general obligation bonds. So these like alternate revenue bonds as well? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. So if we didn't have the money, just so you all know, if we didn't have the money coming in from other sources, this would be the backup. It's kind of like a backup. So. Nothing else? Roll call, please.
Malchewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Okay. And these are the special service area abating ordinances. Motion to approve an ordinance abating special service area taxes for special service area A through D and approve the amended special tax roll and authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute.
Second
by Frieders. Any questions on these? Bart, I don't understand this one as well. I want you to give a brief synopsis, please.
Yeah, these are four primary front-loaded normal SSAs. So residents pay other property tax bills as a result of construction and infrastructure at the onset of the subdivision. Those infrastructure costs were paid for with an SSA bond that had a maximum levy each year. And so there are some years in some of these subdivisions where you can abate or not collect the full amount of legally authorized property taxes associated with the SSA. So each one of these subdivisions, actually there's five subdivisions drafted in four bonds, refinanced two of them a few years ago, set those dollar amounts at whatever the mandated property tax dollar amount is for each subdivision, to collect the legally required SSA property taxes. So there's a nice summary from Rob on each one of the agenda items as to what the maximum tax is, what the amount that we're levying is, and then what the difference is between last year's tax and this year's tax.
Questions? Comments? Roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. You did pretty well there. Excellent. Hartford. I guess that's back to me, huh? Nice. We have the Riverfront License Agreement extensions. We'll do these separately. Is there a motion to approve the resolution for a license extension agreement with Whitewater Ice Cream, Inc., 131 East Hydraulic Avenue, Units A and B?
So moved.
Okay. I think I heard Frieders and Funkhauser. Sorry. I like that. Any questions or comments? Is that you just giving a thumbs up?
I spend way too much money there.
No, you don't.
At least it's paid for.
Okay. And just so everyone knows, we heard about it a little bit earlier, this doubles the rent from $250 to $500 per month. Per year, sorry, in my notes. Boy, that's a little mistake. And is it a 5% per year increase after that for 4 years?
Yes.
Correct. Okay. And some of the maintenance, if there's any maintenance, they're actually taking a little bigger portion of maintenance too. So, no other questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Next one, is there a motion to approve the resolution for license extension agreement with Ginger and Soul, 131 East Hydraulic Avenue, Unit C?
So moved.
Seven.
I heard the Funkhauser again, so. Okay, and similarly, this has an increase. This one goes from $350 to $700 per month, is that correct? Also 4 years, and also the same type of agreement as far as helping out with any maintenance costs. No questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Was that an aye?
It was an aye.
Okay.
I was attempting to do the Joe Clocher, but I couldn't get it.
Yeah.
Morgan.
Well, congratulations. I know there was probably a little bit of stress on the other end, but I appreciate the staff, the park board, and the individuals who are running the businesses. Thank you. We appreciate you having you there. And this is excellent. Now you don't have to worry about it in 2 years. Don't worry about it when I'm done. Excellent. Okay. Next, we have an Autumn Creek Playground and Caledonia Playground request for proposals. There's a motion in here somewhere. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second by Koch. Okay. Discussion. Tammy, you want to give a little bit on this? Even if you don't, would you please?
I know this is just part of we put a land cap together years ago when we were being down in the Bay Park. This is just part of the process of putting in playgrounds on the north side of Kennedy Road. So these are two areas that really don't have easy access to the kind of playground that we've had a lot of calls about.
Questions, comments? I think it's excellent. You're right. There are areas that need to like to see some playgrounds in, and they're filling in again, both those areas. So, okay, we'll do a roll call, please.
Transier?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, the next one is the Rain Tree Park Shelter Purchase Contract. And is there a motion to approve the purchase through Sourcewell Purchasing Cooperative for a shelter for the Rain Tree Park C from Polygon? And is this correct, the amount of $29,002.40?
Yes.
Okay.
Second.
Second by Cole. Questions, comments?
Quick clarification. So we got $93,000 in land cash. We're spending like $30,000 to get it installed.
Just
the shelter.
Yeah,
and then as homes develop, we will be responsible for landscaping?
We'll be responsible to do what the landscaping plans are. So we will complete everything that's in the memo over the next year or so.
But we're authorizing right now to spend close to $30,000 on the shelter?
Just the shelter.
Right.
So everything else will potentially probably come in significantly less than that as we put in trees, like the sidewalks, if you go out there, they actually have dug out already.
Oh, cool.
All of the...
But we have a budget of 93 grand for that whole layer.
Yes. You have a question? Other questions or comments? I think that explained it. We'll do roll call, please.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Sweet. Very nice. We're rolling along here. Thank you. Okay, is there a motion to approve request for proposals for youth baseball and softball league uniforms and equipment?
So,
Transier? No? Over here, Coke? Oh, no, I just was begging for somebody. Coke? I heard Coke's right here. Okay, and this is, there's a potential that they will go over $25,000 on these. Is that correct?
This will just really, we'll work with Carrie on this. Is this will allow us, just for her to allow us to maybe get like individual prices for off to shirt, a hat, and set the bottom line price for each individual item. We really won't know how much it would be until we get this done, and then how many people actually register for the baseball softball season for the next year. So, is there a potential? Yes. We had a huge influx of kids registering. There's a potential that we could go over $25,000.
And the user fees will cover the cost of these.
Yeah, this is completely covered by the participants in the program.
Excellent. Questions, comments? Roll call, please. It's raining out here.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Terulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Okay, next, Planning and Zoning Commission. We have Ordinance 2019-23, amending Title 10, Chapter 6 of the Yorkville City Code pertaining to cannabis and compassionate use. I like that. I've not seen that. Compassionate use of medical cannabis, adult use cannabis. Is there a motion to approve the ordinance?
Motion.
There's second.
Second.
Second by Plocher. Discussion. Roll call, please.
You got a couple.
No.
Just looking through this, I know we had talked about B1, but just through looking at other communities' ordinances, if we could include B2 in the dispensary cultivator for the potential of kind of increasing the locations available for it.
So right now we have is B3.
Sorry, B3. If we can include or at least discuss including B2, that might make the map a little bit more approachable as far as the available property, especially when you're considering the number of available, leasable, move-inable areas around Yorkville. If we're going to talk about this realistically, we should probably talk about including some of those. So that's just something that I've been paying attention to.
Do that same.
Yeah, well, I guess the justification for that would be if it's a previous use that was like a food service, they would already be cut out for it. So it's almost like looking at where those have been situated and kind of mimicking those locations, if that makes sense. I had it written out all pretty, but then I didn't bring it.
Other questions or comments?
So you're saying dispensing and infusing, especially using B2.
Yeah.
But not B1.
But what?
But not B1.
I hadn't seen much, but again, I'm open to. What I want to do is I want to make sure that we have. If we're going to be accessible, we'll be accessible.
So you might run into problems with B1 because we have minimal square footage.
Right.
So I don't know if we have a lot of B1s for 5,000 square
feet. Any B2 property currently could be rezoned to B3 in some way or another, provided that where the land use standards are. So it doesn't necessarily preclude a B2 property from turning into it. There's a special use requirement. In any case.
I have a few items. I agree with what Alderman Krieger said there about the adding to B2. Coming off of our setback discussions on the prior last discussion with this one, my thoughts, I've gone back and forth this afternoon, I've had a couple of individual conversations on this. My recommendation would be to take from residential and parks 200 feet, 500 feet from schools. When the use is separated by state highway, the residential setback is excluded. So if you're across the street from Route 47, you know, you've got residential on one side, maybe on D zoning on the other, you're excluded there. Daycare and religious institutions, if they're within a B zoning, you've got a 50-foot building separation between, you know, from door to door, and you measure 50 feet. Wheaton Park, that's the park that's up right next to Boomba. I would say that that's a zero setback, I'd recommend, because of the proximity to the industrial and the B zoning that's up there. And then the last one I have is any part of the flag lot that's used for ingress and egress purposes, less than 50 feet, would be excluded from the setback.
Other questions or comments?
Those types of comments, I mean, the initial impact of that would be, so in front of Menards, since it's across the state highway, it would expand the area in between where Chase Bank sits going back to the car wash, going over to Planet Fitness?
Yes.
And then, so that's Lakeview, Jimmy John's, that area.
So in that instance, it would allow the buildings adjacent to Route 34 to be usable, not the rear, since those are adjacent to residential.
Right, so the initial conversations about you want to have this stuff out in the open, well, if all of our locations are pinpointed to areas where many people have to build from the ground up to meet some of these state requirements, this would allow us to infill some of the vacant properties that we have, but also focus on making sure that they are still within our capacity and right to go through the special use process.
Yes.
So, is that resolve an issue with on the south side also?
Yes. No.
So that would be another one where we...
That is still one where that parcel, the particular parcel, abuts directly to a residential lot, or series of residential lots.
So I think it's zero.
That's where it would have to be a zero. For that particular lot, if they want it to work, that's why they're asking for a zero setback. Because that building, you got the building, rear drive lane, a few feet of landscape, and then the residential lots.
Would we be able to look into that down the road if that's what the people want to do?
It's a consideration if we wanted to go there.
Well, isn't that one with the state highway consideration? Maybe that's something
that's
where...
That's kind of what I thought.
You know, the state highway was, like you pointed out, down Menards.
Right.
The outlots there, across the street, you have apartments, but with being divided by a 4 or 5 lane highway, what's the reason for separating those if you have that type of arterial?
So if we were to, not carve out, but if we were to make an exception for that type of ruling, that would also impact, so Dave's Meat Market, if that spot right there, right? Mm-hmm. So anyone there, if they had a backyard that abutted their back property abutted a residential, that would be a completely different situation, though.
Yeah, that's the consideration that would have to be had. If you do a zero setback on residential, then that opens up a lot of other properties. We talked about the lots up by Lakeview, those rear buildings, not the ones fronting. Mm-hmm. Those lots become available.
Yeah, the red brick ones.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the kind of thing that it opens up is a lot of land. The several items I listed, that's what I'm comfortable with. I'm not as comfortable with the zero setback. I know that that's a request from, you know, one of the interested parties. I know some of the other communities have zero setback from residential. Right. Several of the larger communities that have that. We're all kind of guessing on this right now in terms of
right. Where well, that's when we're talking about this, and we understand that the security requirements went from pretty strict to now they're relatively rigid. Now, if you guys can clarify for me, when we have a dispensary type operation, there aren't products on the sales room floor, right? It's either a virtual or a menu, right?
Yeah, correct. The whole product is kept in the vault.
Right.
So you come in.
Step to the microphone, please.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
state your name again.
Arvin Silvestri.
Thank you.
Once you scan in, and your number is called, so you'll be in a common area where everybody can come in. There's no sales, there's no nothing. There'll be menu boards and things you can look at. But then once you're called and you come into the secure area, then you're with an actual salesperson, and you look at the product via, again, usually they use iPads, and they type in an order, and it's almost like a restaurant. It goes back into the vault area, and they pull it out. It's like the police chief talked about, it's a sealed package, and then it comes into our order prep area, they fill the order, and it goes through a pass-through window, and it's sold to the customer. So there's no open product whatsoever in the facility, and there's no product in the actual sales floor or the waiting areas or anything like that. It's all inside the vault, which there's real stiff regulations. Like a typical vault that we build is a cinder block walls with a 3-inch concrete roof inside the existing building.
Now, did the trailer bill include anything about deliveries? Are deliveries like relegated to the back? Or are they only front during business hours? Or?
No, the deliveries will. You have to have a completely secure area. So, in a building like John's, we would build typically a 6-foot to 8-foot tall security fence that the van would drive into, be closed in, and then the doors open up, and you come into a receiving area. They bring all the product in. It's closed. It's counted, and then there's doors from there that go directly into the vault.
So there's not much happening out back, is what you're saying?
No. And if possible, we try to make it over the door so that the van can actually drive into the building. You know, the state really likes that.
So from, like, I understand the ideas as far as the cultivation and having them, you know, close to residential, because we've talked about, you know, fumes, noise from exhaust.
Thank you, sorry.
We've talked about all of these kind of downwind issues, but when we're talking about the retail and the way that the state has it set up, where it's more like a bank, and there's really no exchange of goods until there's an exchange of cash, and it's all tracked, you know, digitally and whatnot, I think I would be more open to discussing a zero setback on a dispensary along a state highway, if that's something that we have to talk about, to ensure that we're not kind of cutting things off before they get a chance to expand.
Other comments? Other comments?
I'm open to Alderman Funkhauser's suggestions, but I would not be open for zero setback.
Other questions, comments?
I have a question.
Sure.
Does the zoning requirements need to be voted on and put in place before January 1st, or just the decision to opt out?
Neither one, actually. You would be, without the decision to opt out, you would be open to it in any retail. So, but, you know, you'd still have to come and get a permit. No, it wouldn't be, because it wouldn't even be special use. So you definitely want to take action one way or the other. That's number one.
Before January 1st.
Before January 1st.
Well, the applications are due December 31st.
Correct.
And in an application, I believe a site needs to be identified, or at least the town. And that's the challenge is, if you want to boot this a couple more weeks, it gives people that much less time to identify a town that is receptive to it.
We only have one city council meeting in December.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's... I do believe it is site-specific for the application. That's what I thought.
I'm not positive on that, Chris. I can't.
My understanding is that and you can correct me, the site has, once the application is in, you have 6 months, don't you, to get the site
required?
Yeah, you can apply.
Step to the. Sorry, yeah.
That's okay.
So it's transparent.
No, you can apply without a site. The problem is there's going to be 47 licenses given out on this first go around, and there'll be probably 2,000 to 3,000 applications. So to really get an opportunity to get one, you actually need a site picked out. You should show your security plan, show how you bring the van.
So it's not required by law, but it'll help your chances of getting an application approved.
Yeah.
So it's a practical.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So
yeah.
Step to the microphone, please. Yeah. And just for the record, we don't normally allow this, but this is kind of confusing here for all of us.
On the plan that, or the application, they have a provision for your security plan.
in there that you have to have a plan of your site. It's not required to have a set site. You could have a generic plan, as Mr. Sylvester stated. If you have a site location, chances are those plans will be approved. 75 in the state, 47 in the county area, which we are in, Cook County, Rockford, or Cook County, Elgin area. So you have to have a security system. If you have an active building with a site plan in there, you can show exactly how you're going to have the van pull in, be secure, unload, load up with proceeds, and then how you're going to kind of maintain inside. That is required by the plan to have something set forth in there. 50 pages. Shorter than what I just spoke about. Thank you.
So, to your question, is it required? No, but is it practical? Yeah, it's practically required. And that's the challenge we face. And Chris, you and I have talked about this. I understand what you're saying. You know, there might be a need to tweak it here or there. The reality is, they both told us, if one person gets a license in Yorkville, the other one's not coming to Yorkville. There won't be two licenses in Yorkville. There just won't be. So the more time we give them to fill out their paperwork and get in the state, the better chance they have of succeeding. We can punt this if you want, 2 more weeks, but every meeting we come to, we're tweaking this, we're tweaking that. And I think sooner or later, you just got to make a decision, this is what we're going with, or this is what we're not going with, and move forward. Otherwise, you can keep kicking it down the road. We'll get nobody. And I've all heard you say as a group, not necessarily individually, but as a group, we want to try to make this business friendly. There's no perfect way to do it, but being business friendly isn't pushing them to the edge and saying, we don't know what we're going to do yet. It just doesn't help them in their application. So my suggestion is pass it as it is. And in the future, when they expand the number of licenses, could be 2, 3, 5 years, we've got time to look at it. But we're not going to get 2 or 3 of these in Yorkville. Now, we're just not going to get that. It's just not going to happen. One more.
Well, I just think that probably that's going to happen anyhow, or we're going to have to revisit certain issues as we go forward anyhow.
I was going to say, I'd make a motion to amend it with the points that I had, including the D2. I don't want to talk for conversation, but I'd be willing to make that motion.
I'd second.
Okay. Do we need clarification on the points?
We do, and we need to see maps, and that's where I think this thing's just going to be.
I think the maps are informational.
Well, Chris, you've been the one who's been picking this apart until you see a map. Now you're going to ask us to vote on your proposal without seeing a map? You've gone back and forth with staff for months looking for maps, and now you want us to vote on your proposal without a map. I don't quite understand that.
I think we're talking a 50-foot deviation, and then some of these are...
Show me the map, Chris. Show everyone a map. Give us a chance to look at it like you do. We can vote on it. That's fine. I just think what you're asking for is a little bit hypocritical.
So we've had a lot of discussion on this, Mr. Mayor, and I'm willing to make a motion to...
Well, there was a motion and a second, but we need to clarify.
Okay, and that's, the motion is, I'm going to clarify the points. The points were the 200-foot setback from residential parks, 500-foot setback from schools, separated by state highway, residential setback shall be excluded, daycare and religious institutions, and these zones shall be 50-foot from cannabis facilities as measured at the front of the building. Wheaton Park shall have a 0 setback. Those parks and flag lots used for ingress egress purposes, which are less than 50 foot, shall be excluded from the setback. Dispensing and infusing to be special use in B2.
Does everyone understand it completely?
Yep.
Any questions or comments on the amendment?
We had talked, and this is something that I know is going to be brought up eventually, but we had talked about the qualms that we will have no involvement in the licensing of these operations once they have received the license from the state.
That's correct.
Does this, either the original motion or the second motion, is there any power coming back to the city to have any type of authority in licensing procedure other than special use going forward?
No.
So that means that when somebody opens something and they sell it, we have no input on who purchases it because it's only by the state. Right?
It's You're talking the business.
Right, it's a business state, right?
Who sells it?
Right.
Who purchases it, we have restrictions as to age, as to where, as to containers.
No, he's talking about the business. If the business were to be sold.
This is where it could go But I want to make sure that as we're talking about this, that that is something, I know it's something that we've kind of brought up to some of the state legislatures that, hey, it kind of doesn't make any sense. Because with liquor license, we have a little bit more control. I'm just trying to make sure that in this discussion, we bring up that point, because that's something that we've talked about.
Correct.
Should be something that every time that we talk about something that as far as cannabis, period, we need to make sure that there is a at least a line item that says, once that potential authority is given to a community, that we make sure that we have something on record that we are taking it back. So all of the points that Chris had made, they all make perfect sense to me, and I'm more in tune to see a map look like that than the way that it does right now. I just want to make sure that we're talking about that once in a while, or at least every time that we talk about cannabis, I want to hit on that at least once. So it's an aside, but an important one.
So you can make it a condition of special use that if ownership changes hands, that they would notify the city.
But there's in the regulations, there is a registration so that the owner must always let you know who's in charge so that you would have contact and the name and contact person for anyone managing the facility, too.
Okay.
That's now required. We adopted it tonight.
Would that be an annual thing, too, every year?
Yes, I think we had annual.
So yes, we did.
We did, annual.
So we can do that, then?
We just, it's just a matter of knowing who and where.
But we really can't. The notification does not allow us
to stop unless it doesn't conform to zoning.
It's just a notification.
Right.
But once the zoning is approved,
yes,
the zoning continues with the property, correct?
Yes.
So then once it's approved, we, to Mr. Frieder's point, we have no say on
that. Right.
Okay. Okay. Questions or comments on the amendment?
Just from a staff level perspective, in the past we've amended ordinances and other items to this extent. Typically we have allowed the staff a couple weeks to go back, get the exact language, and have it be present before it's been voted on. We have not had an issue with that process being a legal issue in 10 or 12 years, but we did have some significant litigation as a result of us trying to amend agreements in meetings and then it not being followed through to a certain extent. So it's always my recommendation when we get this detailed in something, and it's not necessarily just a verbatim amendment of the ordinance, that we allow time to bring back.
You all want to wait 2 weeks, huh? Well, I guess we need to vote on it first and then see what we want to do. Because we're voting on the amendment first, and then if the amendment passes, we can address that question. If it doesn't, then we're back to the main motion. So I guess let's roll call on the amendment.
Frieders?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Nay.
Transier?
Nay.
Clocher?
Nay.
Okay, so that's 4-3. Do we need the mayor?
The mayor has to vote.
Nay.
Does not pass.
So now we're back to the main motion as it is presented today. So the question is, do you want to vote on that, or do you want to punt it 2 weeks?
Vote now.
I say vote now.
So is this something where we vote now and then we come back in 2 weeks with changes, or this would be it?
In order to effectuate a new zoning code amendment, we have to go back to the public hearing process. So it would be a month or two, but it could always be changed.
I have a question before we vote.
No, that's good.
If we vote on the staff recommended setbacks today, and 6 months from now, someone says, I think we'd have a viable location that's not contained in where it's currently permitted. Could they then say, we need to address it and change the setbacks because this place is going to work better than where we would be allowed to open?
Yes, I'm a plain lawyer, I think.
Yeah, we
posed the question, too, that could somebody just file for a special use and say, it's 498 feet away from a church or a school, as opposed to 500, would that be allowable, or that would require a zoning code amendment? And the answer from the attorney was that it would be allowable as part of the special use process.
So this would not, I'm sorry, go ahead, Mr.
No, so I want to follow up because I think that's a good idea. So the public could come in and ask for a special use with us.
Yeah, it would be up to them to explain why the radius restrictions were not necessary in the context of their land use. So it's not an absolute bar, but it does require another hurdle.
But we could also change this in the future.
Absolutely.
Yes, it requires you to go through the public hearing process. Right. So right.
There isn't an ordinance in the world.
Sorry for not answering your question.
Sound like a true lawyer. Just tap dancing around.
Which one?
Not me. I don't even play one on TV.
Questions or comments? So roll call on the main motion as presented.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Okay. City Council report. Is there anything? Are you leaving us?
You're supposed to leave at 8.
Oh, well, thanks for sticking around. Nothing from the City Council, City Clerk's report?
No report, Your Honor.
Community liaison reports?
I have a quick update.
Sure.
Through the Yorkville-sponsored Suicide Prevention Action Month Proclamation Project, I was able to attend the Illinois Suicide Prevention Alliance meeting at the Thompson Center in Chicago. The entire state is screwed up. But I think you guys already knew that. But there is a task force that is working on the 2020 plan of action for the Illinois Suicide Prevention Alliance, and I have been annoying and talking about it. So hopefully somebody will call on me. So in addition to that, I was recently a guest on the Waubonsie Community College Fox Valley in Focus program talking about our suicide prevention program with Hope for the Day. Also yesterday, I believe it was, I met with Chief of Police Kristen Seaman from the City of Aurora. To discuss not only what we've done here in Aurora with the Yorkville Police Department under the leadership of Chief Jensen, but what we can do in the future as far as regionally and nationwide leadership as it pertains to mental health of our law enforcement and first responders. So just 2, 3, 4 quick updates on what I've been up to.
Excellent. Thank you. Anything else? Staff report?
No reports.
Additional business? Citizen comments? Now, I do have a question. Is anyone interested in going into executive session to discuss any properties that they might be interested in?
No.
No? Okay, then we will not have executive session. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second.
Second by Colt. All in favor? All in favor? Opposed? Everyone, person. Motion carries. Thank you. 8:23, was it?